Good morning and welcome to Central Church. We are a Jesus church where everyone is welcome, where no one is perfect, but everyone is loved. And on this Easter Sunday, I want to remind you of something really important. The Lord is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Happy Easter. Where I come from in South Africa, we actually don't say Happy Easter. We say Geseënde Paasfees, which means a blessed Easter. And may you be blessed on this Easter Sunday, this Easter weekend. I know it's a time that we would like to spend with family. There's different ways. I know families that have done the Zoom thing this weekend, and they're Zooming together, and that's pretty cool too. Ways to connect with each other. Please do that, and may God bless you as you spend this Easter Sunday together. It's also important that we remind ourselves of what's going on in the congregation. And you're saying, Aubrey, there's nothing because we're all in our homes. Well, there are things that happen, and we need to pray for that as well. In this past week or so, we have had two folks who have lost their husbands. Our prayers go to Lorna Fromm, who lost her husband, Eddie, and also to Cheryl Fail, who lost her husband, Brian. Our prayers go to them in this time, knowing that Jesus Christ is risen. So death has lost its sting. May the Lord comfort you in this time, and may He just hold you to His heart. And would you please continue to pray for Lorna and for Cheryl in this time as they have to say goodbye in a really difficult time to their loved ones. There are other folks, who have gone through a little bit of a difficult time as well, or a lot of a difficult time. And I'm not saying their names because they don't want that, but we thank the Lord for being with them and taking care of them. And continue to pray for them as well. Let's continue to pray for each other as we go through this time together. And now, would you please pray with me? Most holy Father God, you sent your Son Jesus into this world when this world was lost and broken and filled with darkness. And your light came into this world, Lord Jesus, and it shone, and the darkness could not overwhelm it. For you are light, and your being is light. And the darkness tried its best, Lord, and nailed you to a cross and put you in a grave. But on the third day, Father God, you called the name of your Son, and you said, "Arise, my love." And you, Lord Jesus, walked out of the grave. And oh, what a glorious day. As we celebrate your resurrection on this day, thank you that it also happens in our lives and in our hearts. Thank you that again you have a word to speak to us in this day, to remind us who you are, that you are our hope, our living hope. Thank you that every day we walk with you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord, that lives in us, the Spirit that calls to you, Father, loving Father. Will you now, Lord, come and glorify yourself in all that we do? This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Grace be with you and peace from God our Father and from Jesus Christ our Lord. And it is all multiplied by the amazing work of God's Holy Spirit in all of our lives. So I'm going to read with you this morning, and going to read a scripture from a little book that we don't often read. It's the book of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to read verses 3 to 9. And as you know me by now, every now and then I just take a different translation. Today I'm going to read from the Good News, but just follow in whichever translation you have. They're all quite the same. So this is what Peter writes. Let us give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of His great mercy, He gave us new life by raising Jesus Christ from death. And this fills us with a living hope. And so we look forward to possessing the rich blessings that God keeps for his people. He keeps them for you in heaven, where they cannot decay or spoil or fade away. They are for you, who through faith are kept safe by God's power for the salvation which is ready to be revealed at the end of time. Be glad about this, even though it may now be necessary for you to be sad for a while because of the many kinds of trials that you suffer. Their purpose is to prove that your faith is genuine. Even gold, which can be destroyed, is tested by fire, and so your faith, which is much more precious than gold, must also be tested so that it may endure. And then you will receive praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed. You love him, although you have not seen him, and you believe in him, although you do not see him now. So you rejoice with a great and a glorious joy which words cannot express, because you are receiving the salvation of your souls, which is the purpose of your faith in him, Jesus Christ. Verse 3. Because of his great mercy, God gave us new life by raising Jesus Christ from death. And this fills us with a living hope. I want to read you a little piece from a book called Letters and Papers from Prison. It's a biography of the man called Dietrich Bonhoeffer. In the foreword of this, there's a little story. And it goes like this. On April 8th, 1945, the Sunday after Easter, at the request of his fellow prisoners at Schönburg prison camp, Dietrich Bonhoeffer conducted a worship service in the school building, and he preached from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Meanwhile, at Flossenbürg, the SS officials had not forgotten Dietrich Bonhoeffer. The SS machinery still worked well enough to find the prisoner at Schönburg. Shortly after Bonhoeffer closed the worship service in prayer, the door opened and two men in civilian clothing entered. "Prisoner Bonhoeffer," they ordered, "get ready to come with us." Everyone knew what that meant. As he left, Bonhoeffer spoke to a British airman, Payne Best, and he said these words, "This is the end. But for me, the beginning of life." At dawn on April 9th, 1945, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was killed on the gallows. This is the end, but for me, the beginning of life. What an amazing example of a living hope. Hope that even in the shadow of the gallows can rejoice in life. Hope that even in the cul-de-sac of death can see beyond that dead end, beyond the grave, beyond death, and find hope. A living hope. And my friends, I am sure this morning when I say this that you will agree with me that we all need hope every day of our lives. And right now, I think we even need a little more hope because, boy, I don't even want to listen to the news anymore or watch the TV because it's kind of scary and it seems a little hopeless every now and then. We need hope. When we're sick, the thing that keeps us going is the hope that I will get better from this illness. When the stock market just falls and plunges and there's kind of nothing left, there's hope it'll pick up again and we'll be okay and our investments will be okay. We live with hope. If we don't have hope, there's nothing left for us. I have a doctor friend who once said to me, "The best medicine that I can prescribe is hope. Because the moment I give someone hope, I can just see it in their eyes. There's a new sparkle in the eyes. There's a new spring in their step." Even our language reflects that. Can you remember how often we have said, "Every dark cloud has a silver lining"? Because hope is such a huge part of our lives. But when Peter talks about a living hope, it's not the same kind of hope that is dependent on a silver lining on a dark cloud. When Peter talks about a living hope, it's a hope that goes beyond our circumstances. Because look where this hope starts. It starts at a grave, a place with the least hope, right? It goes beyond our feelings or our emotions or the things that are outside of our control. He says the living hope that we have comes from somewhere else. No, comes from someone else. His name is Jesus Christ. Because when this hope fell, when this world fell into hopelessness and into darkness and into despair and into doubt, something happened. Jesus was put in a grave. And the grave was closed. And death laughed and said, "I have conquered. Where is your hope?" And evil laughed and said, "What happened to you? Where is your hope?" And Father God counted 1, 2, 3. And then he opened that grave. And out of that grave walked the one who was dead and now is alive. Jesus Christ, our resurrected Lord, our living hope. And he changed all of that doubt, all of that hopelessness into a brand new day. And here's the thing. The moment that happens in our lives, it changes our vision. It changes a vision from hopelessness to hope, from doubt to joy, to expectation makes me able to say the words that Dietrich Bonhoeffer said. This is the end. But for me, this is the beginning of life. Because Jesus is our living hope. On that day when he walked out of that grave, what a glorious day. We sing that song. And he walked out of the grave and he called my name and I walked right out of that grave. Oh, what a glorious day. And how does that happen? Because Jesus is alive. And I am alive because I have a living hope. I walked right out of that grave. That, my friends, is the miracle of a living hope. When we fall into the doubt, when we fall into the moments where I feel I just can't go on, when it feels like everything has overwhelmed me, the living hope of Jesus Christ walks right into my heart. And you know what happens? The moment he walks into my heart, I can get up again. And I can sing again. And I can dance again, and I can walk in the most difficult places. There was a man who did not know Jesus Christ, who never read about the resurrection, and yet listen to what he writes. His name is Habakkuk, a prophet from the Old Testament. He says, maybe it sounds a little known right now, "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines. And though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food. And though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls. Yet." And I told you before, when there's a yet, it's like a but. Just negates everything that goes before it. "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. And I will be joyful in God my Savior. For the sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, and he enables me to walk in difficult places." The Lord is my living hope, even in a COVID-19 world, when we don't know about tomorrow, but He knows about tomorrow. And what does He do with my feet? He makes me walk in the most difficult places, and I don't stumble. I'm like those deer that run on the mountains that look as if the one leg is shorter than the other leg, and they can jump in the most difficult places, because that's what the Lord does, even if there are no cattle, if there are no sheep, if there are no figs. For the sovereign Lord stood at the grave, and He said, "Arise." And my living Lord Jesus walked from the grave and became my living hope. And the moment we realize that, that's when the miracle happens. That's when I dance, and that's when I sing, despite my circumstances. Because it changes my vision. The fear of tomorrow is gone. The fear of what's going to happen to the world is gone. Because you see, here's the thing. When Jesus walked from that grave, the history of this world did a 180. And it became God's future. And the one who is in control of that future, in control of the future of people, of nations, of the church, of this world, His name is Jesus Christ, my living. And because of that, we can live in a world, and we can live this promise that we live in a world of abundance and peace, despite poverty and hatred. We can live a life of life and love, despite death and hatred. We can live in a world of faith and hope, despite doubt and despondency. Because we have a living hope. Let me end with a story. True story. Little boy named Philip. Philip, when this story happened, was around 8-9 years old. He suffered from a really bad illness. I think it's called progeria is the correct word for it. He also struggled mentally. And Philip was an amazing little boy, but often, because of his illness, made fun of by his friends in class. One day was just before Easter Monday. The teacher sent the kids out of the classroom, and she said, "So go out." She gave each one of them a little plastic egg. She said, "Go take this egg and go find something outside that you can put in there that will remind you of Easter." So all the kids went out and they got stuff. They put it in their eggs. Half an hour later, she called them back. They're all in the classroom. And they each got up to show and tell. So they'd open their egg, and in the egg would be a little flower saying life. Some of the boys had little bugs that would come out of their eggs. There's life again, and a blade of grass. And so they went on and on. The last one to show and tell was Philip. And then Philip took his little egg, and he opened it up, and was exactly like mine. It was empty. There was nothing in it. And of course, his classmates started laughing, saying, "Oh, come on, Philip, it's you again. Couldn't you even find anything to put in there?" And even the teacher said, "Philip, why didn't you put something in there?" Philip said, "But you told us to put something in there that reminded us of Easter. And I didn't put anything in my egg, because on Easter, the grave of Jesus Christ is empty." That's our living hope. He's not in the grave. He's out of the grave. And because He's out of the grave, He's in control of this world. He's in control of you, my friend. Each one of us, our lives, every day, whatever it might bring. And as we live in this COVID-19 world, can I remind you, we have a living hope. His name is Jesus Christ. And like this little Easter egg, His grave is open. he's alive and he's well. And we have the story of Philip. 6 months later, Philip died. At his funeral, on his casket, all his classmates were there. And they all walked past Philip's casket, and they each had an Easter egg empty, which they placed on Philip's casket. Maybe we should take our little Easter eggs today and remind ourselves, death, you've lost your sting. Doubt, you've lost your sting. Hope, you're alive, because Jesus Christ is our living hope. Amen. Thank you, Father, for giving us hope when we have lost hope. For giving us life when death tried to take over. For setting us free when the grave tried to close around us. For we may ask the question, is this living hope possible? Then there is the counter question. Did Jesus Christ rise from the dead? For the grave is open, and you have given a living hope. Thank you for this Easter. Thank you that maybe today we can be quiet, like on that first Easter. And just for a moment, reflect, Lord, on what the open grave means for us. Thank you for the gift of life. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. May the Lord be with you throughout this wonderful day of Easter as you spend time with whoever you are, have in your home. But as you live your life, can I remind you that the Lord blesses you? For the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the precious indwelling of the Holy Spirit will be with you. Amen.